Welcome to the Crosspoint Leadership Podcast, where we cover leadership from every angle, from church life to home life and everything in between. Welcome to episode 8. Let's jump right in. We're going to start today in the book of Numbers, and we're going to be in chapter 13. And the story begins with Moses sending 12 spies into the land that God had promised Israel for many, many years. This would have been like their vision as a people. This is what God had put out in front of them, kind of their goal. And so Moses is sending men in to spy out the land. Go take a look at what we are trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish. And so let's explore what this is going to be like if we go and try to possess this land. And so that's where we pick up the story. And this is in, again, Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to start reading in verse 2. The scripture says, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." This is God speaking. "From each tribe, send a man, the leader from each tribe." And so they go in, Moses sent them. And verse 17 says, they go in to spy out the land. He says, go up by the way of the south and go see what the land is like. Verse 18 says, go see whether the people who dwell in the land are strong or weak or few or many, whether the land they dwell in is a good or a bad land, whether the cities that they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. And be of good courage, he says, and bring some of the fruit of the land. And so what Moses is doing here is he's sending these men to go see what it's going to take. Let's go explore this opportunity out in front of us. Let's not just take off into this without exploring it a little bit. And so I think for leaders, that's important for us to do. We don't just randomly jump into stuff. We want to do our due diligence. We want to do our research. We want to find out what we're up against. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to find out as close as you can, what do we expect in going into this? And so that's exactly what these 12 individuals were tasked with doing. And so they went up and they spied out the land. Now in verse 26, they come back from that mission. Go out. Here's the goal, is really what Moses is saying to them. Here's the vision that God has given us. Let's look at what it's going to take to accomplish that vision. So verse 26 of Numbers 13 says, "Now they departed and they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land." Verse 27. "And they told him," being Moses, "we went into the land where you sent us." The vision that was communicated to us, what we believe God is showing us to move forward and do, we went and looked at that. And here's their first response. "Yes, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." And so they say, everything we've heard about what the vision has spoken to us is true. This would be an amazing opportunity. This would be everything that we have dreamed about. It's well worth what we're doing. Here are some of the fruit. In fact, some of the fruit that they brought back, there were a cluster of grapes that were wrapped around a pole. And the cluster of grapes was so big that it took two men, one on each end of the pole, to carry this fruit back out from where Moses had sent these men to spy. And so they come back and they say, yes, everything that we heard is true. Now look at verse 28. "Nevertheless, we've seen this, the vision, the opportunity is amazing. Look what we could do if we were to accomplish this." They're all in agreement. And yet here comes the first voice of dissension. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Now, the descendants of, descendants of Anak would be giants. And so they come back and they say, what an amazing opportunity. Can you imagine if we could do this? Look at the fruit. It's all true. Then they give an accurate description of what it would take to go and accomplish this vision. And they say that there are strong people there. There are cities that are fortified and there are giants. All true. All true. Now, verse 30, you have this guy named Caleb come onto the scene. And you got this group of 10 spies giving this report about the land. And Caleb pipes up after this, verse 28, nevertheless, the people are strong, the cities are strong, and there are giants there. Caleb pipes up and he says, I want you guys to be quiet. He says, let us go up at once and take possession of this vision. Let's go accomplish this thing. He says, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, just an important next verse here, verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him, so the other individuals, the ones that were just talking, who said, this place is amazing. Look at its fruit, but it's going to be hard. In fact, it almost looks impossible. There are giants there. The cities are strong. The people are strong. Oh, yeah, this would be amazing. And Caleb says, all right, let's go and do it. But in verse 31, the men who had gone up with him, they said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So here's what I want you to see. All the men, those 12 individuals that went on that journey to spy out the land, to research what it would take to accomplish this vision, they saw the exact same thing. They saw the bountiful fruit. They saw the amazing land. In fact, the scripture says it flows with milk and honey. That just means it's a fertile area. This place would be amazing for us. They all agree upon that. They also agree that there are going to be challenges. Caleb never once, when he goes against the dissenters, he never once says there aren't going to be challenges. What I want you to notice, Caleb says we are able, and the other individuals say we are not able. So the argument wasn't about the vision or what it would take to accomplish it. The argument was, are we able? The word able here just means having the power to overcome or the capacity to prevail or succeed. So I want you to really get this. In this portion of scripture, in this story, the argument isn't about the value of what they were pursuing or the opportunity of what lied in front of them. Everyone agreed on the goal, and everyone really agrees on the challenges. But what they didn't agree on was whether or not they were able, whether or not they had the power to overcome, the capacity to prevail or succeed, whether or not they were able to attain what they all agreed was an amazing opportunity. And so let's go to in Numbers chapter 13, let's go to verse 32. Let's just skip down and read. This same group of people, the dissenters that said, nevertheless, we know it's a great opportunity, but there's no way we could overcome the challenges. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants and all of its people. And the men we saw in there were men of great stature. There we saw giants, they said. And watch this. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, there will always be mountains that seem unscalable, and there will always be giants that look unbeatable. You cannot change that. Any endeavor you undertake as a leader, it doesn't matter if it's in your home or if it's in your business or it's a church, it doesn't matter. What is constant is there will be challenges, adversity, all of that stuff. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus just confirms this. And he says, in the world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. There's just no doubt about it. If there is a constant to this life, if there's a constant to leadership, if there is a constant to trying to lead your home, your family, your business, whatever the case might be, there are going to be times of distress, suffering, and as Jesus said, tribulation. But he also says, be courageous, be confident, be undaunted. The Amplified Bible says, be filled with joy because I've overcome the world. See, here's what I'm saying. Seeing impossible situations as a leader is a constant. It will always be there. So in leadership or, you know, any other human endeavor, like we said, that doesn't change. But watch, here's the important piece. How you see yourself in those seemingly impossible situations, that can change. That can change. See, Caleb said, we are able. The individuals who said we are not able, they didn't just say that we're not able. There's a key insight in verse 33. They said there are giants there, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. See, they saw themselves as grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. And then the scripture says, and so we were in their sight. So how they saw themselves had a great impact on their ability to move forward and accomplish the vision that God had already given them and promised them that they were well able. This is Caleb's actually parroting what God had already said to them. And so I just want you to see that. The impossibilities, the challenges, all that stuff, like that's nothing new. That's none of that is going to change. It's always going to be there. If we expect to go into any endeavor and it be smooth sailing, that's not at all what we're promised. We're promised there are going to be giants there. We're promised there are going to be challenges, trouble, tribulation. It's going to be blood, sweat, and tears. But how we see ourselves in those situations, that's the variable that in this whole equation. That's what can change. How you see yourself in the midst of these circumstances that seem impossible, that's the determining factor. Now, you probably say, wait a second, what do you mean how I see myself and why is that important? Well, like think about this. Everyone either knows or thinks that God is able. There's no one that we're not, even if someone didn't believe in God, you know, at the very least, if he is God, then by the very fact that he's God, he is able. So the question is not, is God able? That's not the question. Here's where the problem arises. Everyone thinks God is able, but very few people think that he is able for them, right? Or here's another way of putting it. Everyone thinks that God is able or has the ability to deal with any situation, any giant, you know, any unscalable mountain or insurmountable circumstance. That's not, we all know that, but is his ability available to me? So is he able for me? The 10 men, I say 10 because ultimately it's Caleb and another guy named Joshua who say, no, let's go take the city. But so these 10 others that considered this an impossibility, what I want you to notice is they never considered God's view of themselves. They never said we might see ourselves in as grasshoppers in our own sight compared to these giants, and then said, but our God is bigger. They never said that. They never took into consideration how God saw them. They only considered their view of themselves. And I know that kind of might seem just a little bit tricky there, but here's what I'm trying to say. How you see God seeing you will ultimately be how you see yourself. right? So if you see God as holding his ability back from you, not willing to help you, leaving you on your own, right? Not allowing you to use his power, strength, wisdom, ability in a situation, then guess where that leaves you? Well, it leaves you right where it leaves anyone else without God, as a grasshopper in the sight of giants. See, so what I'm saying here is how you see God seeing you. What does God, how does God see you? Do you know how he sees you? You know, are you aware of what he wants to do through you as a leader? Is he somehow holding you back, somehow saying, you know, restricting what he wants to offer you in terms of his ability and wisdom and toying with you and, or just completely absent, you know? I mean, that impacts how you see yourself in terms of, are you able? Do you have the power to overcome or the capacity to prevail and succeed? And so the reason that these men failed, the reason these men came back with a bad report wasn't that, you know, Caleb saw a totally different view than they did. What he saw was himself through the eyes of God. They only saw themselves through the eyes of the giants. And you gotta be careful whose definition of you allow to become your identity. You have to think about that. Who is defining who you are? Are you allowing God to, or are you allowing the circumstances, impossibilities, unscalable mountains, you know, seemingly insurmountable circumstances? Is that defining you? Man, Caleb and both Joshua, we'll see in later on in the chapter, these guys knew how God saw them. And let me read a scripture in Ephesians really quickly, just to show you how this is a challenge that is all throughout scripture. And so this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to a church in Ephesus, and he's talking to the people, and he's actually praying a prayer for them. And I just want you to listen to some of the key words when he prays here, and notice what he's praying. This is in Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 14. It says this: "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you." So he's wanting these individuals to get something here. And here's what he says: "Grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, what it is to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Here's what I want you to see. He's praying that these individuals would be able to comprehend and know the love of Christ for them. So he's praying that the fullest understanding of how much God loves them and is willing to work on their behalf. In fact, he finishes out the prayer and says, "This is who I'm praying that you would have a revelation of his love for you. This is the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." What this tells me is the Holy Spirit knew that there would be a challenge for us to understand, or maybe we could say accept, how much God loves us and how willing he is to work on our behalf, that we would be able to be filled with the fullness of God. And so as we are making decisions as leaders, as we're thinking about the future and the visions that are out in front of us, there are going to be dark days. I'm just telling you, there are going to be times when you feel like you're the only person who is the guardian of the vision. You know, it's going to feel like everyone else is just saying, "Yeah, that's a great vision, but there's no way we can do it." But here's what I'm trying to say in all of this, and this is what Caleb did. Someone has to be the guardian of the vision. Someone has to be able to still see light when it seems like the whole world is surrounded by darkness. When failure, fatigue, and fear starts to infiltrate the camp of our teams or of our families, someone has to challenge the voice of the majority and say, no, wait a second. You got to just quiet the people just like Caleb did. Someone has to still believe God. That's just the simplest way of putting this. Someone has to see beyond what it feels like. You know, when you see these things at first glance and it startles you a little bit. Someone has to see beyond the moment. Someone has to see beyond, you know, all the emotions of the challenges and adversity that we face. Someone has to believe that God is still working. He's still moving. Someone has to believe that he is still able. And that ability is available to us. God is able and God is available. That's what Caleb knew. And that's what he held on to. And I'm telling you, as leaders, that's something that we can never let go of. There are going to be times when you feel like you are standing completely by yourself and it is just completely pitch black. And it seems like darkness has surrounded it and there's no way out. But I'm telling you that God is not only able, but he is also available to you. And he wants to lead you to that place where you can fulfill that God-given vision in your life. Go back and read Numbers chapter 13 and 14, and it's a powerful insight into how people naturally respond to big vision, godly vision, and how, you know, whether it's Caleb saying, yes, we can, or whether it's the majority saying, no, we can't. Go check those out. We're going to come back next week, and we're going to do part two of this series we're doing here. So go read it, check it out. I hope that was a blessing, and we'll see you next episode.